are listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The Hour of the Time is also carried on WRMI, Worldwide Shortwave Radio, 9955 kHz, Monday through Friday night, 6 until 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
You're listening once again to the Hour of the Time, and I'm still, once again, William Cooper. Tonight, you're going to, or this afternoon, I hate this split coast-to-coast thing. It used to be I was on at night no matter what time it was. You're going to need a pad of paper and a pen for tonight's broadcast. And I'm just going to say tonight, no matter what time it is, wherever you're listening, simply because that's what I'm used to saying. We're going to delve in to the hidden fraternity, the brotherhood of light, the brotherhood of man, the society of the dragon, if you will, the brotherhood of the snake, goes by many different names, the Illuminati, the great secret college of adepts, which are subverting the existing order and bringing about what they call the completion of the great work, the great plan, their utopian world order, which they say will result in the brotherhood of man, where all violence and wars and misery and pain will be eliminated from the earth. However, I fail to see how they can bring that about when everything that they are doing to accomplishment is being done through deception and through lies. You see, if they were really doing the great good work that they claim, why must it be built upon lies, deception, manipulation? Why can't it stand up in the light of truth? You see, when they talk about light, they really mean darkness. Because when you shine the light on these cockroaches, they scurry under the refrigerator, back behind the pipes in the sink, because they don't want you to know their true nature. So, you're going to get a taste of their true nature today as we continue in our never-ending series of exposés on the sludge that lurks at the bottom of the pond that is slowly creeping out and taking over everything. They don't want you to know who they are or what they believe, and they can't stand it when we expose them. Now, I must preface this broadcast with Well, I started to say disclaimer, but it's not a disclaimer at all. Knowledge. I'm going to give you some knowledge. The knowledge that not all of the people who are involved in these fraternal orders, these secret societies, really know what they're involved in. So to lay a blanket over all of them and say that they are evil people and they are consciously subverting freedom and liberty and destroying religions and nations is not an accurate statement, ladies and gentlemen, because many of them have no idea what they are participating in or what they are bringing about. Indeed, they don't even know what the ritual ceremonies that they participate in during their lodge meetings even mean. They don't even know the symbology of any of it. They're there because Joe brought them, and Joe told them that if they were a member of the lodge, they'd have more business in town, and they'd have preference for contracts and all of that kind of thing. And it's true. You better believe it's true. And once they are in possession of the secret signs, handshakes, and distress signals, they have a better life than any of you ever thought of, or ever will have, or ever could have, because, folks, they're in control. And you're going to find some of that out during this next hour, actually 55 minutes. So pay attention.
Having a hard time finding your favorite show on shortwave or satellite? The Christian Media Newspaper now provides program guides to all the top Christian, patriot, and alternative radio programs. Four times a year, they print an updated shortwave and satellite program guide. Christian Media is $20 per year and includes news and interviews on Christian books, video, music, and broadcasting. Subscribe now and receive a free Christian music compact disc with your paid order. To subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. Once again, to subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. Call now.
To make sure that I have your attention tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to start off with the question that you're all asking. Is Freemasonry a religion? Are the secret fraternal orders, and when I talk about Freemasonry, I'm talking about all of them. For at the highest levels, they are engaged in the same great work. Remember, Adam Weishaupt said that, quote, "We exist under many different names and different occupations, but at the highest levels, we are the same, working toward the same goal." End quote. The Royal Ark candidate is led to believe that the lost word, which the York Rite claims is Yabulon is the lost name of God, which used to be pronounced with great solemnity by the high priest of the temple in the Holy of Holies in the first temple of Solomon built in Jerusalem many thousands of years ago. Now, this is reflected in the fact that the senior office in a royal archchapter is called high priest, and even wears a mock-up of the Jewish high priest regalia when ritual work is done. According to the Freemasons, it is the ineffable name of God, at least the Masonic God, and is quite an awesome secret indeed. However, in our search for the God of Masonry, it is also a major clue, ladies and gentlemen. The analysis of the name as presented to the candidate reveals some disturbing associations for anyone concerned with biblical truth or who may belong to any one of the many religions, not necessarily Christian, which forbid such things, and proper reverence for the real name of God. Yah, J-A-H, the first syllable, represents the name Yahweh, or Jehovah, the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob of the Bible. This name is so highly revered that it appears only a few times in the Authorized Version, 1611, as in Psalms 68, verse 4, and in the use of the word Hallelujah, which means praise Yah. So far, so good. But, you see, it doesn't stop there. The name is Yabulon. Buel, the second syllable, represents the name Baal, or Bel. This is the name of the god of Jezebel and Ahab, perhaps the most wicked couple ever to sit on the throne of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 29 through 33, and is commonly accepted as the name known as the Lord, also Satan. On, spelled O-N, the third syllable, represents the name of the Egyptian sun god. It is the name of his sacred city, Heliopolis, city of the sun in Greek. Heliopolis is in Egypt. Genesis chapter 41, verses 45 and 50. It is the god of Pharaoh. Now I wonder, ladies and gentlemen, how happy the God of the Bible is with the blasphemy of his name, a name so holy that people were stoned to death for taking it in vain, so holy that it could only be spoken in the most holy place of the temple, so holy that pious Hebrew scribes down through the centuries dared not even write it in their texts out of wondrous awe, and instead substituted the name Adonai, or Lord. This is the same name of which God said, quote, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain," end quote, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Now, how pleased do you think God is with the same name thrown into a metaphysical trash compactor and smashed together into a mystifying muddle with two of the most notorious idols of the Old Testament? It shouldn't require any kind of Bible scholar to see that the God represented by this grand, omnific, royal ark word is a very unholy trinity indeed. It also represents a perfect distillation of the attitude towards God, as noted in the last chapter, where it was made clear that just about any old God would do for a Mason. Here, that concept is given concrete reality. And in that last reading that we did, if you'll remember, the Freemasons refer to their God as the grand architect of the universe, and is the same God for all members of the Masonic fraternity, whether they be Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, Christians, or atheists. Now, how could you be an atheist and be a believer in the grand architect of the universe? Well, it's very simple, ladies and gentlemen. If when you go into the Masonic fraternity, you must profess a belief in God. But you don't have to say who that God is. You see, because the ultimate answer to all of this riddle is that they believe that man himself is God. So how could you be an atheist and still profess a belief in God? It's very simple, ladies and gentlemen. If you believe that you yourself are God, then you are, in my estimation, an atheist. And you are professing a belief in a God that cannot perform that function in any way, shape, or form, and in fact is not God at all. But is, in fact, a deception. For isn't that the promise of Satan to Eve in the Garden of Eden? If you go ahead and eat of the forbidden fruit of the tree that in the center of the garden, which God has forbidden you to eat from, then you will surely become as gods, and you will not surely die. And that little drama there that took place is what's really at the heart of all of this. Whether you believe in it or not, I can tell you, quite frankly, that these people don't believe in it. They believe it's a metaphor. And it conceals another meaning altogether. It has to do with evolution and the gift of intellect to man, through the use of which he will conquer nature and the universe and shall become God. And that's really, once you understand that, and then you understand their concept of the duality of nature, then you've got it all. There just isn't anything else to know. But it's so difficult to explain it to you so that you can grasp it under all of this symbology that they use to hide these simple truths. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, that the ritual identifies this Yabulon with the word of John chapter 1, or excuse me, John book 1. Even the most cursory reading of John 1, especially verse 14, reveals that the being discussed as Jesus Christ, not this three-headed theological monstrosity, if anything, it is more blasphemous than ever to identify Jesus, whom Freemasonry refuses to worship, with a deity that is two-thirds satanic. Obviously, this Yabulon fellow is not the God of the Bible. And if he or it or she, because in their belief, God is male and female, androgynous, he must be a false god, a mask for Satan, a deceit. Who is the great deceiver? Well, we all know the answer to that. Now, this is a pretty provocative statement, don't you think? Sadly, it's not hard to find collaboration for it. It exists everywhere. And remember, I only take their own words when I document what they believe. For to me, to say that they believe something that I can't find in their own words would be the utmost folly. And of course, certainly wouldn't do much for my credibility, would it? For a start, let's examine the other fork on the Masonic road, the Scottish Rite. We just looked at the god of the York Rite. Let's look at the god of the Scottish Rite. In the degree of the Knights of East and West, which is the 17th degree in the Scottish Rite, there are many deceptive teachings. But we're only going to cover one, because that's all we're interested right here. Remember, I told you I'm going to get right to the heart, the meat of the matter, because anything else I say, you can always rationalize unless you know exactly what God it is that they worship, and that they are indeed a religion, and that they admit it in their own words. As Yabulon is the sacred name of the Royal Ark degree, York Rite, so there is a sacred word in the 17th degree, I should say, as well. Remember, this is the Scottish Rite. This name is Abaddon. And a quick trip to the New Testament will reveal that according to God's word, there's nothing sacred about the name Abaddon. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, it says, and I quote, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon," end quote. And both of these terms, ladies and gentlemen, literally mean destroyer. And the angel of the bottomless pit is Abaddon, another word for Satan, whom Jesus identifies in John chapter 10, verse 10, as one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Some sacred word that is, don't you think? But it is a sacred word in the 17th degree of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry of the Southern Jurisdiction. But this is not the only evidence for the identity of Masonry's God. Several ambiguous and not so ambiguous references are made in the writings of some of the Masons quoted throughout their voluminous volumes of writings. Albert Pike, probably the highest Mason in the United States in his day, and the only one regarded as being of the elevation that he was entombed within the house of the temple of the 33rd degree in Washington, D.C. He wrote this, and I quote, this is what he wrote, Albert Pike, one of the greatest Freemasons who ever lived. And they make that statement themselves. He wrote this, quote, Lucifer, the light bearer, strange and mysterious name to give to the spirit of darkness, Lucifer, the son of the morning, is it he who bears the light, and with its splendors intolerable, blind, feeble, sensual, or selfish souls? Doubt it not, for traditions are full of divine revelations and inspirations, and inspiration is not of one age nor one creed, end quote. Now, although that statement is an absolute marvel of ambiguity, we must remember that the thing sought in every single Masonic initiation is light. And I have revealed those initiatory ceremonies many times on this broadcast. The question asked of the initiate at the critical moment is what he most desires. Prompted by the deacon, the candidate says, light! In the first degree, more light in the second degree, and so on. It is not without significance, ladies and gentlemen, that this eminent Mason tells us that Lucifer is the source of that light. Elsewhere, writing of Satan, Albert Pike teaches that he, meaning Satan, is, and I quote, not a person, but a force created for good, but which may serve for evil. It is the instrument of liberty or free will. They represent this force which presides over the physical generation under the mythologic and horned form of the god Pan. Thence came the he-goat of the Sabbat, which is a witch's festival, brother of the ancient serpent, and the light-bearer or phosphor of which the poets have made the false Lucifer of the legends, end quote. What do you think about that? See, Pike is also quoted as giving this instruction to a council of very high-level Freemasons. Listen to this, quote, the Masonic religion should be, by all of us initiates of the high degree, maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. If Lucifer were not God, would Adonai, whose deeds prove his cruelty, perfidy, and hatred of man, barbarism and repulsion for science, would Adonai and his priests calumniate him? Yes, Lucifer is God, and unfortunately Adonai is also God. For the eternal law is that there is no light without shade, no beauty without ugliness, no white without black. For the absolute can only exist as two gods, darkness being necessary for light to serve as its foil, as the pedestal is necessary to the state. Thus the doctrine of Satanism is a heresy, and the true and pure philosophical religion is the belief in Lucifer, the equal of Adonai, but Lucifer, God of light and God of good, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, the God of darkness and evil, end quote. Wow. Now that's a mouthful, And if you didn't understand that, I don't know what else to do. Pike's not alone in beating the drum for Lucifer. The Masonic scholar Manly P. Hall writes this, quote, "When the Mason learns that the key to the warrior on the block is the proper application of the dynamo of living power, he has learned the mystery of his craft. The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands, and before he may step onward and upward, he must prove his ability to properly apply this energy," end quote. Freemasons are on a quest for light, but it seems they have done everything they can to detour around Jesus, who said, quote, "I am the light of the world," end quote. These quotations may stun the person who thinks of Masons as a nice order of men who help crippled children. They do have hospitals, yes, and burn units, yes. And that is the mask behind which they hide. And that is the foil which they hold up to the community whenever they are threatened with exposure. You see, it's been amply demonstrated from authoritative sources, the ritual monitors of Freemasonry, their own writings, that Freemasonry does not worship the God of the Bible, all of their protestations notwithstanding. And frankly, according to their own writings, their own words, their own ceremonies, their own rituals, that only leaves one other being they can worship, whether they call him the great architect of the universe, or Yabulon, or Lucifer. It is still Satan residing behind the mask of these other names, and they harbor a deep and abiding and terrible hatred of all Christians and of Christianity. And of every other religion upon the face of this globe, they intend to completely wipe them all out and establish their religion as the religion of the world. What world? The New World. The New World Order.
Having a hard time finding your favorite show on shortwave or satellite? The Christian Media Newspaper now provides program guides to all the top Christian, patriot, and alternative radio programs. 4 times a year, they print an updated shortwave and satellite program guide. Christian Media is only $20 a year and includes news and interviews on Christian books, video, music, and broadcasting. Subscribe now and receive a free Christian Music Compact disc with your paid order. To subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. Once again, to subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. Call now.
Now, let me give you, should you not already know this, the steps up the ladder of the pyramid of the secret orders. There are exactly 13. And to prove that to you, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to take out of your wallet a dollar bill and look at the reverse seal of the United States of America. On it, you will see a pyramid, truncated, missing the capstone, with an illuminated eye floating just above the flat portion of the top. Below that eye, you will see exactly 13 courses on the pyramid. These are the steps from the bottom to the top in the initiatory orders of the Illuminati. At the very bottom course is the Blue Lodge of Freemasonry. That is the first 3 degrees, the third degree being Master Mason. So when an entered apprentice or a craft mason or a master mason tell you that this is all baloney and they never heard of any of it, number one, it's because they don't understand the symbology of their own rituals and degrees. Number two, they have not investigated the ceremonies, rituals, degrees, and writings to see if any of it is truly deceptive. They have just accepted it. And number three, ladies and gentlemen, they're at the very, very bottom of the hierarchy of the Illuminati. And these people, I must tell you, in all honesty, except for a few who are very intelligent and who do read and study, know nothing. They are the dupes, the foils, the fools, the consensus, the worker bees of the hive, if you will. From the Blue Lodge, they may advance either into the Scottish Rite or into the York Rite of Masonry. From there, when they reach the top of either one of those two, they may go into the shrine. Now, just to more cement the nature of these secret orders, the shrine wears a fez. You know, it's that silly little round red cap with a little tassel hanging off the end. The fez, ladies and gentlemen, is a Muslim apparel. The fez was of different colors, usually of a brown or tan color, until a famous battle took place during the Crusades. And at this battle, over 100,000 Christians were killed. And all the captives, Christians, from this battle were summarily executed. And the streets ran red with blood. The Muslims took off their hats, the little round fez, and soaked it in the blood of the Christians. And since that day, the fez has been red to commemorate the death of those Christians. These same Freemasons who will profess to you that their order is a Christian order wear the red fez, because the truth is they hate Christians and Christianity. And this is just one of their methods of mocking. The next, or the fourth course of the pyramid, is the Grand Sovereign Inspectors General, 33rd degree. Above that is the Supreme Council of Grand Sovereign Inspectors General. And there are only a few. Above that is the Order of the Trapezoid, which I documented in my book, Behold a Pale Horse. Above that is the Ancient and Primitive Rite of Memphis, 97 degrees. And after attaining the 97th degree in the Rite of Memphis, they may progress in the Ordo Templi Orientis, or OTO. And above that, they may go into the Palladium Rite. From there, progressing into the Illuminati. The next course above that, or the 11th course of the pyramid, is the Council of Nine Unknown Men. And above that is the Council of Seven. And then above that, the 13th course is Ein Sof Aur, or the Grand Architect of the Universe, from whom they all take their orders. And we've already revealed to you, in their own words, exactly who that is. So you can see, folks, this is just another one of those pyramid schemes in which you may get involved. And they keep promising you this ultimate secret. There isn't any. The ultimate secret is how to control so many people with the promise of an ultimate secret. In the meantime, indoctrinating and brainwashing and teaching through ceremony and symbolism the worship of Lucifer, Satan. And what are their plans? If they're engaged in all of this, and this order is centuries, actually thousands of years old, and I have documented it back to the beginnings of the recorded history of the human race. It did not begin in 1717, as they say, or at any modern century. It is as old as man himself. In fact, this secret religion really developed in the ancient mists of time when man was just learning to build cities and to hunt and to plant crops for agriculture. And the first high priest of this religion was Nimrod. The high priestess was his wife Semiramis. And anyway, that's a tale for another episode of the Hour of the Time. Let us proceed here. Let's find out what these people are all about. Set the stage. Wasn't intended, but the stage is now set. Remember the movie that Shirley Temple did? Not Shirley Temple. Shirley MacLaine. Not Shirley Temple. Shirley MacLaine. Remember the movie that she did? I forget the name of it, but it will come to me. But I remember in this movie, she was watching a flickering candle. And then she felt herself becoming one with the flame. And across this flowing little course of water, I guess it was a spring, in this darkened cavern, she saw her guide David surrounded by shimmering lights. And then vibrating auras she saw dancing around the vegetation on the shores of this underground grotto. And remember, in past episodes of the Hour of the Time, I told you that the rites of initiation would always take place in a tomb, or a grotto, or a cave, usually in the ancient mysteries underground. And that's what this was representing. And then all at once, she felt herself leaving her body, Shirley MacLaine. And she floated through the top of the cave and swept up through the clouds and on beyond the earth itself to the moon. Remember that? Trailing behind her, she saw a thin silver cord. But on past the moon she went. And on the other side, far out in the darkness of space, she saw a nebula. And she wondered if her silver cord would reach that far. And with that one limiting thought, she felt herself begin traveling back down to Earth and on back into her body. The lesson being, of course, the initiation that you limit yourself. You see, she was on the way to becoming God. And so she had that one thought. I wonder if that silver cord will reach this far. And zap, like an elastic band, the silver cord yanked her back down into reality in this cave. Now, if you viewed Shirley MacLaine's graphic portrayal of her first occult out-of-body experience like I did, that you were probably a little bit sickened. Millions of people were watching that January night in 1987 as ABC broadcast. That's right, ABC, the same ones who put out most of the disinformation all the time. They broadcast the second of a two-part miniseries based on the book written by Shirley MacLaine, and I can't remember the name of that book, but I will before this broadcast is over. You see, who knows, out of all of those millions watching that movie, how many tens of thousands were being sucked into the New Age religion, this New World religion, by this slick recruiting effort orchestrated by the public relations firm of Lucifer and Associates. That's right. A few minutes earlier, they had seen her guru, David, a guy named David, driving his truck down this dark mountain road near this great mountain in Peru, Machu Picchu, I think is the name of it, up in the Andes. And as they roared down this road, narrow, winding, very winding road in the dark, David's eyes were closed and his hands were not on the wheel. And Shirley MacLaine, of course, was going absolutely berserk. But he later explained to her that some out-of-this-world space visitor who had arrived from the Pleiades had actually been driving the truck through remote control using what he called the God energy. And I have spoken of this scene many, many times on this broadcast. Remember the earlier pathetic scene which shows Shirley and David standing on the shore of the Pacific shouting at the waves, "I am God! I am God! I am God!" And then David tells Shirley that several months before, this space lady had commissioned him to recruit Shirley as a spokesperson for the truths that she was learning about the New Age and the occult. You see, as a world-famous movie star, Shirley MacLaine's influence would surely be of immense value to the plan of the, quote, masters of wisdom, end quote. Now, what this plan is really designed to accomplish was certainly not revealed in that movie, ladies and gentlemen, nor was it revealed in Shirley's book. Out on a Limb, that's what it was. The name of the movie, folks, is Out on a Limb. Get it, watch it. But watch it with your intellect. But you see, the writings of the people behind it and the symbolic language that they have displayed in all of their workings have revealed parts of their plan to others in the New Age and to those of us who study them diligently and who document who they are, what they believe, and what they are trying to do. And no one on the face of this earth has done more research into these people and has documented more about who they are, what they believe, and what they are trying to do than me, William Cooper. I can assure you that. It's one of the reasons the White House President Clinton calls me the most dangerous radio host in America, because I'm on to them. And if I'm on to them and I can document it, I can teach it to you. And if you can take that same documentation and show it to others, we can have a great awakening, maybe save freedom for the world. Not just America, for if we lose it here, the whole world loses it forever. If we can keep it here, the rest of the world has a chance to someday have what we have. Their plan is to establish a new world government and a new age world religion upon the destruction and the ashes of all existing religions and nation states, and to shackle the profane mob so that their secret orders can never again be threatened and they can control the world. It will be, as I will demonstrate and have demonstrated to you in many hours of this broadcast, the kingdom of the Antichrist and Freemasonry, or the Illuminati, I should say, because it's not just Freemasonry, it's all of these fraternal orders. The highest levels, they are the same. The Illuminati will be at its core. This includes the Order of Freemasons, the Eastern Star, the ancient military Order of the Knights of Malta, the Rosicruci, the AMORC, the Knights of Pythias, the Knights Templar, all of them, without exception, are involved in this. On page 861 of Morals and Dogma of the Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry by General Albert Pike, prepared for the Supreme Council of the 33rd Degree for the Southern Jurisdiction of the United States and published by its authority, in 1871, Albert Pike, Masonry's most distinguished authority, concludes his lengthy and authoritative work with these words, quote, "The royal secret, of which you are a prince, if you are a true adept, is that which the Sohar, a book of the Kabbalah, terms the mystery of the balance. It is the secret of the universal equilibrium. Such, my brother, is the true word of a master mason. Such the true royal secret, which makes possible, and shall at length make real, the holy empire of true Masonic brotherhood." End quote. This statement, ladies and gentlemen, discloses the ultimate goal of Masonry, to establish what Pike calls a holy empire. This empire is to be a one-world government. It will be holy because it will be ruled by the princes of the New Age world religion. And this New World Order, Pike says, will be the, quote, true Masonic brotherhood, end quote. Think that's a coincidence that he said that, and it's not really true? Well, let's examine the writings of some others, great princes of Freemasonry. How about Manly P. Hall, 33rd degree, was called Masonry's greatest philosopher. According to his obituary, carried in the 33rd Degree Council's publication called the Scottish Rite Journal in November of 1990. You see, I can go back and quote from the 1800s or the 1700s or the 1600s. I can also quote 7 years ago. I can also quote last year if you really want me to. Called Masonry's greatest philosopher. Illustrious Manly Palmer Hall, as they called him, received the Scottish Rite's highest honor, the Grand Cross, in 1985 because of his exceptional contributions to Freemasonry. And they wrote, quote, in his book Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, published in 1929, Hall indicates that he, like Pike, sees the philosophic elect of Freemasonry as the future rulers of a new world empire. He states that Masonry has yet a great work to do, that of bringing in the new age, a more glorious day which is at hand. He says a new day is dawning for Freemasonry. Men are now turning away from the insufficiency of theology and the hopelessness of materialism, and in this new era wherein the old order is breaking down, men are finally turning to seek the God of philosophy, end quote. This will ring in the rule of the philosophic elect and result in the reorganization of society, undoubtedly along Masonic lines. He adds, quote, by thus doing his part in the reorganization of society, the workman may earn his wages as all good nations should. A new light is breaking in the East. A more glorious day is at hand. The rule of the philosophic elect, the dream of the ages, will yet be realized and is not far distant. To her loyal sons, Freemasonry sends this clarion call. Arise ye, the day of labor is at hand, the great work awaits completion. They are the master craftsmen of the universe. End quote. Manly P. Hall, Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, Los Angeles, The Hall Publishing Company, 1929, page 417. That's what he wrote in 1929. Did you notice that they, these Freemasons, don't build buildings? They engineer society. They are socialists, as I have always told you from the beginning. As we look at how Freemasonry is to help restore the occult mystery religions and initiation ceremonies of ancient times, ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind that nearly all those in Masonry and the New Age movement are involved for what they think are good motives. Most people never set out to do evil, do not think of themselves as evil, and rationalize or actually only see the picture in a small microcosm of their particular interest, and it can be presented to them as a good thing. Many of us have been caught up in occupations and endeavors in our life which we thought were good until somewhere down the line when we discovered it really wasn't at all. So, you bear that in mind and understand that many of these people are just innocent dupes. Unfortunately, they're being deceived by one who appears, as it were, as an angel of light. And they all think this angel of light is a marvelous, wonderful thing. But is there really a connection between Freemasonry and the New Age movement, as I claim? And if so, ladies and gentlemen, what is this connection? What are the characteristics of the coming New Age world religion? Is Freemasonry really based on occult mystic rites of ancient pagan mystery religions? What role is Freemasonry to play in the unveiling of the New Age world system? And are women involved? And if they're involved, how are they involved when these orders are for men only? Well, to answer these questions, we're going to look at the authorities of both Freemasonry and the New Age movement, and then we're going to look into the Order of the Eastern Star. which is generally accepted as the women's order of adoptive right, which they claim has no connection to Freemasonry. But on this broadcast, I will prove to you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that the two are one and the same. And that there is, in fact, more than just a connection. Ancient mysteries, you say? Yes, I do. I do say. They were originally given to humanity by the hierarchy, according to Alice A. Bailey and Helena P. Blavatsky. And folks, we will pick up at that point tomorrow, right here on the Hour of the Time. And also give you tomorrow some references that you can go out and get, read. And the first one, though, that you can concentrate on, and you can usually find it in old bookstores, is Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma. Get that first. Read it from cover to cover. If you don't understand it all, do not despair, for much of it is written behind an esoteric language of symbology, which without a little study, and sometimes a lot of study, you will not readily understand. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you.
Having a hard time finding your favorite show on shortwave or satellite? The Christian Media Newspaper now provides program guides to all the top Christian, patriot, and alternative radio programs. Four times a year, they print an updated shortwave and satellite program guide. Christian Media is $20 per year and includes news and interviews on Christian books, video, music, and broadcasting. Subscribe now and receive a free Christian music compact disc with your paid order. To subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. Once again, to subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. Call now.
This is the Voice of Freedom. listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
We now return you to our regularly scheduled programming today, 24 hours of the best of classical jazz.